Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, and keep free speech alive. Normally, this would be spiritual health and wellness, but we've had a little shakeup in schedule this week. I'm going to postpone that. We're going to do spiritual health and wellness tomorrow night because I think William is going to be absent. And tonight, I'm joined by a special guest, David Scorpio, regular co-host to Richard Carey on Wednesdays, 12 noon on Beyond the Official Narrative. David, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Jeremy, I'm doing well, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
Great. Glad to have you. So let's get right into it. I ran across this article on Breitbart. Speaking of the riots in France, there seems to be a masked anti-thug brigade, a vigilante group, and they are zip-tying rioters and delivering them to the police, helping the police out. The mayor of this town in France, it is Lorient, Brittany, I think is the name of the town. The mayor is denouncing and denying that this group even exists. Certain far-right political groups in France are, of course, disavowing. And something that I found brought up in the article also is that there seems to be a military base there of Marines. Now, I don't know if it's an American base or French, but there's a base there. And so the suspicion is that these are military men, possibly Marines. And there's actually even a woman that was involved. And they're talking about how they want to protect France and small businesses. So just what to make of all this? I want to get your take on it. First of all, is this a legit vigilante group? Is it military? And if so, are there bad actors involved? Could this be some sort of some sort of an operation? What do you think, David?
Well, interesting topic. I think we're a little early in on the game here to know for sure what's going on. But, you know, it's interesting to note that vigilante wasn't always a bad word. Before, you know, modern law enforcement became the norm, it was quite common for citizens to take care of business on their own. And so the modern context of vigilante is negative. It's very, you're a vigilante, you know, you're out of control. Now, in this situation, it's very hard to tell. My guess, this could be legit. We'll have to wait and see where it goes. But one thing's for the cops don't ever want any citizens getting involved, helping them, doing anything, because, you know, they don't want to lose their turf, so to speak. But this could be an indication of further, if something like this expands, it could be an indication of sort of a further problem, which is that French citizens are tired of their country being looted and pillaged and turned into something they don't even recognize. So we'll have to see where this goes. But, you know, right now, I'd say it's an interesting development. Let's say that.
My speculation when I read that there was a military base there, I'm thinking these guys are military. They're described as moving fast and with a purpose and very good shape, large individuals. That's probably what it is. And the fact that political parties and the mayor wants to sort of distance themselves or disavow, I guess, is what I'm getting. That makes me think maybe it's not an operation, that it is organic. And then it is just people. And actually, the police in the article anyway said that they welcomed this. They felt overwhelmed by the brown people, the brown Muslims, these third worlders reacting very violently, you know, toward this killing of the 17-year-old Algerian. Now, I'm in an area where the police are very good people overall. And I have somewhat of a bias. I know people personally that are deputies, and you know they obey the Constitution. and they're actually peace officers. They don't try to crack down on the public or do power plays. But in other areas of America, I'm sure that police are out of control, and especially we saw during COVID. We saw this power trip that they're on, especially the state police. So maybe in different states and bigger cities, there's not such a good taste in people's mouth for the police. But I think overall in this context, I mean, if it weren't for the police in France here, you know, what would these groups be doing? How far would they be going? So I think overall, all the police are a good thing. But as you mentioned, like in a healthy society where white men are in control, where white men sort of rule, and you know, you think of in the past in America, when crime got out of control, men took up arms and they took action. You think about Leo Frank. I mean, that was a good example.
Yeah.
And there's many others. But in today, in current year, this could really get you in trouble if you had a group of vigilantes that were cracking down on brown people that are obviously sponsored by the state. I mean, these groups of Muslims in France, I mean, they have like weapons grade RPGs and things like that. And they stole a lot of weapons from the police office. But I tend to feel like these groups have been fostered by the state. And that if you had a big uprising, that the uprising would be put down by the state. And you look back to the summer of Floyd, St. Floyd, the patron saint of fentanyl and crack and bananas. You know, when that took off and you had over in Kenosha, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse getting out there and blowing away some pedophile Jews. Anybody that tried to stand up against this, well, what would you call it, anarchy, I guess? Anybody that did that was come down on by the state. So in a healthy society, you could have vigilantes. We're in an unhealthy society. And I think if you had this happen too much, that the state would crack down on that. What do you think of that assessment?
Oh, yeah, I agree. There's no question. You get yourself in a lot of trouble. And, you know, America is not a healthy society right now. I often refer to it as a free-range, open-air insane asylum. That's what America has become, unfortunately. And I think you made a good distinction earlier about talking about rural sheriff's departments versus cops in big cities. The cops have become revenue generators. Part of their job is to do, you know, pull people over for minor traffic infractions and fine them and get money for the city. That's really one of their major functions, is revenue generation. And but, you know, I do have a problem with, you know, cops. Okay, it was certainly wrong for this individual to drive off from the cops. But the problem is that, you know, the police have been militarized since the 1980s in America and in Europe, apparently. And the fact that just because someone drives away doesn't mean that they deserve the death sentence. So I'm cautious about saying, well, cops have the right to, you know, shoot somebody if they drive away. Well, if you think about it, let's say they did drive away. They got their license plate and a description of the guy that did it. It could easily find the guy later. Now, I'm not making excuses for someone that drives away from the cops, but, you know, killing people on scene probably isn't the best solution. And giving the cops that power should be really be looked at very carefully, because part of the problem we've been living under in America has been this great militarization of the police since the 1980s, and giving the police, you know, military grade weapons, you know, tanks and, you know, all kinds of things, all these no knock warrants. These are really not things that should exist in a healthy society. And all it does is escalate the you know, circle of violence further. And I don't mean to sound like a liberal. I'm not. But I'm very cautious about just, especially in big cities, giving the cops this kind of power, because you end up having a very bad situation. You have a bad situation made much worse by the cops just shooting people. And so I think it's complicated. And part of the problem is we have a lot of unruly people that don't like each other. That's the other problem we're having here. You know, the Muslims in France are a real problem. And of course, this has been done on purpose. This is not an accident. You know, these people were imported for the purpose of destroying white Western Christian culture. There's no question about that.
Yeah, these are good points that you brought up. And I know you're pro-white, so I'm sure you agree with this point that if the 17-year-old had been a white Frenchman, we wouldn't have any of this. But your point still stands that cops have been given too much power. We saw it in COVID, especially in the city and state police. That's definitely a thing. I'll refer to this case in Louisville, Kentucky, of Breonna Taylor. Now, this incident happened just before George Floyd, but it was brought to the forefront, the trial of these police officers that did a no-knock warrant on Breonna Taylor's apartment. This was brought up and rehashed and thrown into the face of the public via the Jewish-controlled media when Floyd was a thing in summer of 2020. But just to give some background, detectives and police officers in Louisville suspected that Breonna Taylor's apartment was being used as a drop house for drugs, and they did a no-knock warrant. They actually did knock, though. Now, I know some people that were on the ground there, and the boyfriend of Breonna Taylor shot through the door. The cops shot back using excessive return firepower, bullets actually going through various apartment buildings behind her, like in different rooms, through the walls. And she was shot. She was hit and killed. And so that did a whole, that fomented a whole riot. The media took that and ran with it. And the police officers were actually found not guilty. But then the feds came in and charged them with a hate crime and charged the Louisville Police Department with, you know, basically doing a fake warrant. So on the one hand, you have cops overstepping their use of force, definitely a thing. And on the other hand, you have the federal government taking advantage of this when the people are black, which in most cases they're going to be black because blacks commit the most violent crimes disproportionately in America. And then that whole thing just becomes just a big S show, which is what it was here in Kentucky. So now these cops are charged with hate crimes.
Well, Jeremy, you bring up some really interesting points. It's a very complex situation in a lot of ways because, first of all, the cops on the ground were given their orders. You do this. So they followed orders. And this is everything they did was legal within the police department. There's no question about that. So the idea that the feds are going to come in and charge them with hate crimes, that's really insane. Of course, we had the Jewish media fanning the flames the entire time. Blowing this out of proportion and leaving out the fact there's no question that house is being used as a drug safe house, so to speak. There's pictures of her and her boyfriend with drugs and guns posing with them, you know, like, hey, ain't this cool? Yo, you know, this is bad, you know, and that kind of thing. I mean, there's no those photographs. I've seen the photographs. So there's no question about that. But then we have a third complexity to this, which is the so-called war on drugs. And, you know, again, I'm not advocating drug use. It's very destructive. But until something around 1907, you could buy drugs at the pharmacy. You know, cocaine, heroin, basically any, even concoctions that had marijuana or hemp or in it were available. So the war on drugs, I think, is a real actually been very, very destructive, and it's been the sort of the gasoline that's been poured into the engine to militarize the police. So I think you could easily make the argument that if drugs were legal and available, you know, over the counter in some way, with restrictions, of course, for age and where the places can be, and then, you know, trying to give people help who are drug addicts, say, look, you don't have to do this. You don't have to live your life this way. Making it a social stigma, drugs should not be used. You know, I think you could make the argument that approach may have been less destructive than the so-called war on drugs and the militarization of the police, because the two go hand in hand. And then to make it further complex, we know that the CIA and other intelligence agencies are actually the involved with the drug cartels bringing the drugs in and choosing which cartel sits on top of the pyramid and who makes the most money. Drugs are the way that they fund their black budget program. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. And, you know, another way they could have gotten this drug dealer boyfriend of hers was simply, you know, wait outside of his apartment. The guy's got to go outside and, you know, eventually to eat or something, and nabbed him that way. So again, when you get into a situation where you're, you know, going into someone's apartment in the middle of the night or very early in the morning, it's almost guaranteed there's going to be a bad fallout from it. And again, I don't think there's an easy solution to this, because you've got very bad, misbehaving people who are actually, you know, a real problem for the society. And even if drugs were legal, those people would be causing problems. So I think it's very complex, these questions we're bringing up tonight, Jeremy. And I don't think there's easy answers, but I do know that the war on drugs has been sort of the fuel that allowed this militarization of the police to happen.
I totally agree with you on that, at the risk of sounding libertarian. Please don't color us libertarian.
Yeah, I'm not a libertarian by any means.
No. Yeah. There would have been a less violent way to handle this. And think about this, instead of cracking down on these black drug dealers, I mean, you know, blacks and whites are going to use drugs, whatever, they're going to deal. I mean, how about cracking down on the Jewish-ran pharmaceutical industry that has pushed opioids on poor white people in Appalachia for nearly two decades now? You know, how about cracking down on that? Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, that's really a huge thing. You know, the OxyContin and the other opiate drugs that have, you know, turned into a side business. That's a huge problem. And again, the drugs are being brought in through very high channels that are allowing this. So you've got elements of the government and the intelligence agencies that are actually bringing the drugs in. We have a border now that's essentially wide open. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're actually letting these people in, giving them a cell phone and saying, well, here, there's a court date in 4 years to show up if you want. But that's really what it amounts to now with our so-called border. And of course, the other problem no one talks about, the reason I think the border is bad as it is a little bit of a red herring, is that we've got an immigration system that lets in over 1 million people a year, plus chain migration, where they can bring up to 10 family members. That doesn't ever get talked about. Like, when do we say that's, we don't need to have 1 million people coming in every year? When are we going to have that discussion?
Exactly. Exactly. The war on drugs, if they really wanted to do a war on drugs, could begin with the pharmaceutical industries, and it could definitely begin with closing the borders, total stop of immigration, because legal immigration is worse than illegal immigration. And so that's where they could start to crack down, because a lot of the drugs are coming up from there. We can get into fentanyl, we can get into China. Let's get into this on the other side of the break. We got the break coming up.
Absolutely.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we're back to In Plain Sight. Got David Scorpio, a special guest tonight on Wednesday. So we were talking about the border and drugs, and I brought up China. So I don't want to be a China shill. I do want to point out and put the blame where blame is due. I have read that when China learned of the opioid epidemic, they banned certain chemicals used to make fentanyl, but they still sold chemicals, industrialized chemicals, to cartels in Mexico. And these cartels then would run the fentanyl through the southern border. So I want to put the blame, number one, on the cartels, but mostly on the Jewish organizations that allow these open borders and that pay our politicians to shill for these open borders and to not do anything about it, as to why this destructive drug is being pushed into the southern border of the United States. Let me get your take on that, on China's role in fentanyl, the cartels, and the Jewish immigration proponents.
Well, Jeremy, I like your approach to all these issues because you have a complex mind and you're looking at the complexity of some of these situations. And one thing that's always bothered me about the so-called fentanyl drug crisis is it's an odd business model for drug dealers to have a drug that's so deadly that it kills your customers. The whole point of being a good drug dealer is to get your clients hooked on the drugs and keep them coming back for more so you make more money. Apparently this drug is so strong that people are dying left and right from it. So that makes it sort of unique in terms, of a business model. It's a little strange. I've never really figured out exactly, why that is or what's behind that, and something to think about anyway. And I believe, China is all for weakening America any way they can. You can say, even if you like China, you can still say, well, they are brutal and let's say tough competitors. So I don't think it would be beyond the Chi-Com government to do things to intentionally weaken America. That I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibilities at all.
Okay, so let me play the China wants to do business advocate for just a bit to get your response. They've benefited greatly from the West. I mean, they went from farmers in rice fields in the 80s, and just one generation, they have actual billionaires over there. And I think from what I can understand, China sees the West. They want to dominate the West economically. And I don't know why they would want to destroy the West. That's never really been answered to my mind. I definitely don't think they want to invade. Sure, we probably have a lot of Chinese coming over here, but a lot of countries come over here because they want to take advantage of the Jewish American system. So how would China benefit from destroying the West rather than just leaving it healthy to keep benefiting economically from it?
Well, I don't think China wants to destroy the West. I think it wants to weaken the West, and doing things to cause problems, to put a monkey wrench in the system, I think is to their benefit. But I don't believe that China is about to invade America. I just don't think it's realistic or practical. I've heard people talk about this. To me, it's just not believable at this point, and it wouldn't possibly work anyway. I think it's sort of a Red Dawn fantasy scenario that makes good press coverage and Alex Jones kind of stuff, but I just don't think it's honestly realistic. Now, I lived in South America for 5 years, and China has a huge influence in South America. It's not talked about very often, and sort of the way they do this, what I've seen firsthand, is what they do is they'll go to one of these third world countries and say, hey, we're going to build you some infrastructure that's going to help your country, which is true. They might build like a giant dam and put a hydroelectric plant in there and go, okay. And then the problem is, though, here's where it gets a little sticky, is that they do this in countries where they can't possibly pay the bill. There's no way they can pay the bill. So like in Ecuador, they built this huge hydroelectric plant and a dam and everything that is actually producing a lot of power, which is certainly a good thing. It's better than the American model in a lot of ways, which is, hey, we're going to blow your country up if we don't do what you say. But what ends up happening is that the country cannot pay the payments because their economy just, isn't big enough, or they don't have that kind of money. The Chinese know this. And so the other little thing they do is say, well, we're going to build you this dam, but you have to use all Chinese workers. So we're going to bring in our own workers. They're going to be all Chinese, and every aspect of the project, except for some consulting and some other things, all the labor and hands-on is going to be done by Chinese. So you end up with a colony of Chinese in your country. Okay, that's another thing. And how many of those are, agents for the government or spies? Who knows? There's no way to know. But you can count there are some. And then once the payments aren't met, in Ecuador, for example, they have a lot of oil. So China has actually moved in and, bought up or traded these oil fields in lieu of payment. And so this is how they do things. They do the same game in Africa. They do the exact same thing. That's how they do their that's their model to take over all these countries. And then the other thing they do is say, well, you have to buy Chinese cars as part of the deal. So like in Ecuador, there are more Chinese cars for sale than there are from any other country.
Let's pick this up on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me.
All I've got. All right, welcome back to the show, Implant Site. We've got David and Jeremy. And we're just running down this thing with China and the border. I do want to get back to our original point of the 17-year-old Algerian being shot in France. I want to get back to that. But this is we've went far afield, but it's a good conversation. So I don't want to speak to the point of Jews in China. I don't know about that. But what I will speak to the point of is in my research, having a biblical mind frame and worldview, is that Asiatic people, you know, China and Japan and the Koreas, they're Semitic. In other words, they descend from Noah's son Shem. And some of these practices that you're describing are very Jewish. And I know here in West Kentucky, we have multi-million-dollar farms that raise soybeans, and their biggest customer is China. And I can see China wanting to sort of have a leverage over these farms, and maybe even own them. They've bought a couple of factories and businesses here in West Kentucky. And so I can see sort of the way they're doing business. It is a very Jewish thing, but I don't want to speak to Jews controlling China. I'm not sure I'm on board with that. Maybe you could speak to that, and then we'll get back to the original topic on this France thing. But what about this thing of Jews in China?
Yeah, well, that again, complex question. I appreciate how you look at things because a lot of these issues really are complex. Well, you know, there's no question there's a group of Chinese Jews called the Kaifeng Jews who've been around China for a very, very long time, and they have a big influence on the country. Now, how big that is open for debate, but there are Jews in China. That's a fact. And, you know, what's interesting about this subject is that there's no question that the West has done everything it can to raise up China at an incredibly fast rate. As you pointed out, in the 80s, it was rice fields and bicycles. People are going to ride around on bicycles. So we went from an agrarian backwards economy to an industrial powerhouse in one generation, really, or I guess you could say two generations. But certainly in one generation, the transformation had begun. And, you go back to the laws that, gave China the most favored nation trading status. And, the Clintons essentially handing over every military and industrial secret or selling it to the Chinese. And, sort of this globalist plan to raise China up to where it is. I mean, there's no question that there's some kind of secret collusion at the very top between China and the West, because you can't, there's no other way you can explain why our top officials would allow all, you know, not all, but most of our manufacturing base to be sent over to China. There's no way you can explain, well, why does our military rely on China to make, you know, crucial military parts for the military, including electronics and all kinds of high level stuff. So there's no question there's massive collusion at the very top between those two countries. And, you know, many people have speculated that the entire Cold War 1.0 was essentially a ruse for the public, and that at the time there was high level collusion between Russia and America. There's quite a bit of evidence to support that claim. You know, I mean, Russia would have collapsed during World War II if it hadn't been for all the food and the military equipment we sent over there, and the Lend-Lease program and other things. And then even after the war, we propped up Russia multiple times. Communism would have fallen, would have fell way before it did, if it hadn't been for Western collusion. So the same kind of game is being played with China. Now, is it just the Jews? Well, no, probably not. I think at the top you've got of this cabal, whatever you want to call it. It's sort of I think that they've merged together a couple of different power bases, that it's kind of like different mafia families have come together to work towards the same goal. And so I think it's undeniable that we've got massive collusion at the very top between China and the West and the United States.
And then on the other hand, you've got this Jewish media going total anti-China and anti-Russia, anti-Putin. And I think that's why a lot of people in our circles are really gung-ho to support Russia and China. And I've been there myself. You see this call to war with China over Taiwan. I mean, you know, Taiwan was a big thing. They seemed to be this big financial thing in the 80s where the U.S. was benefiting from them, and now China's benefiting from Taiwan. And so the U.S. is actually drumming, you know, the war drums toward China, and you see this in the media. So it's hard to tell, you know, what's going on when you see the media doing this anti-China stuff. It does make you want to think, well, maybe there's something to the support for China thing.
Well, I would say this, that I think one of the contingency plans to really shake the world up is to have a very controlled World War III. And, you know, I believe that the letters from Giuseppe Manzini and Albert Pike were real. Because they were actually housed in one of the museums in London at one point. They've just, you know, they're off limits. You can't see them anymore. But there's a lot of evidence to state that those were actually real letters where they talked about a third world war. And if you read, you know, the supposed letters, it's kind of like the protocols. You can say, well, maybe they're forgeries. It doesn't mean they're not real. A forgery is an unauthorized reproduction is what it is. They never said it was, you know, false. So if you read the actual letters, whoever wrote those, it was not some guy in his basement. Whoever wrote those letters had a very deep understanding of how things work and how power works. Same with the protocols. Whoever wrote those had a very, very deep understanding of the way power works and how the world actually works. So I think a contingency plan is to have a stage-managed World War III to sort of, you know, they tried to do this great reset with Operation COVID Hoax that ultimately failed. You know, they made a lot of progress for a while there. I think, you know, they were really wanting to get the masking thing to be permanent and, you know, get a new injection every couple months permanent. But a lot of that's fallen to the wayside because people realize life is short and they don't want to spend their lives living in fear, worried about getting, you know, the sniffles. You know, that ultimately failed. So they're not going to stop. And the goal is to do something big enough to shake up the system where it comes to a stop or close to it, so they can reset it and put the new system in place. And I think a world war is one of the contingency plans. I think they have many contingency plans. And lastly, I would just say, Jeremy, just because even if China and Russia are so-called fighting the New World Order, that does not mean it's going to benefit America or the West. In fact, it will not. Even if that scenario is true, they are not going to be kind masters, especially China. China will not be a kind master to America once America's under its heel. You can count on that. The Chinese are ruthless. If you look at their history and the way the Chinese government is run, it's absolutely ruthless. And I think to try to paint it in any other way is a little naive, quite frankly.
Well, just to get an overall 40,000 foot view before we go back to the original topic, this could very well be, and I think it is, a controlled demolition of the West in favor of the Eurasian shift. And Israel, the greater Israel, and the Ukraine being a key point, a chokehold in relations between Asia and Europe, cutting America completely out and neutering European countries. That seems to be what's going on. If I were going to just throw that out and give you an overall view, let me get your comments on that, and then we'll go back to this original topic.
Sure. The Eurasian shift is by far the largest geopolitical transformation in our lifetimes. It's been going on. We're in the middle of it now. And yes, Ukraine is very strategically located to manage that. It's right on the sort of the edge of Europe, and it's right up against, Russia, and China, of course, is nearby. So it's a perfect point to manage the shift to the east. And one reason why all the corporations are on board is it represents an essentially limitless base of slave labor that, will never exist in the West. You've got, 1.4 billion people in China, 1.3 billion people in India, something like that alone. That's a pretty good, slave labor pool that the West will never have. And those people are not going to have any kind of expectations in terms of workers' rights and, salaries and that sort of thing. That is a long ways away from happening. And so that's the other reason why the Eurasian shift is inevitable. It's already a done deal. It's happening. There's no stopping it. The only question is, what is America, or what are Americans going to do? How are we going to react as this goes on? This Ukraine war is really also about establishing Israel 2.0. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I honestly don't think Russia is really trying to win that war. It's really sort of a siege. They're in a stalemate, a year and a half almost into this war. They're saying Ukraine is, going back into Bakhmut after all this time. I mean, this is really a meat grinder for both sides. And the important thing is instead of rooting for one team or the other, Ukraine is being emptied out. 10 million people out of 40 million people supposedly have left the country. And they're conscripting all men. Men aren't even allowed to leave the country. And so the more Ukrainians that are killed, the better, in terms of this Zelensky character and the Jewish oligarchs that run him. And we're going to see sort of a very different country emerge. Zelensky even said publicly twice now that Ukraine will be the most diverse country in Europe when the war is over. So that's what they're fighting for, because the Jews always want to hide behind diversity. It makes them feel safe, and they can hide, through all the different kinds of people. That way they don't stick out like a sore thumb. And that's part of the strategy, too, because Israel, let's face it, Israel's running out of room to expand. Even the media is starting to turn on Israel a little bit, just because it's becoming patently obvious the Israelis have no intention of giving the Palestinians anything. And that charade can only go on for so much longer before it becomes obvious to everyone.
Well, and there could be powers in China and Russia. I mean, you take Putin, for example. Maybe he thinks he's doing what's best for the Russian people. Who knows? But they definitely want to get rid of the guy. And he could be playing his part, though, inadvertently. I don't think that everything is totally controlled. But I do think there's powers that can, you know, that can motivate certain individuals to do certain things. And definitely Putin has stepped out of line, and they want to get rid of this guy. And maybe that's what I've always thought this whole thing was about, was getting rid of Putin. So people can, you know, pro-Putin people can view that in their lens, and anti-Putin people can view that in their in theirs. But definitely they want to get rid of him because I think he is someone that who is controlled by all oligarchs that have stepped out of line. Your comments on that, and then let's get back to this original French thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very accurate description. I don't think it's as simple as every leader is 100% controlled. Some of them are. But the ones that start to step out of line and do the things they want to do, especially if it's for the betterment of their own country, get themselves into trouble real fast. And I have said on my show numerous times, I believe that Vladimir Putin's days are numbered. Me and Mike Sledge actually called this back in November, that we both thought he'd be out of power by the end of this year, most likely. So we'll see what happens. But I think things are. I think there's a lot of internal problems there now. And of course, you've got. We don't even know how many agents are inside of Russia, just waiting to stir up trouble as soon as they get the green light. And overall, I think Putin's been a good thing for Russia, because whoever replaces him, it's almost certain to be a much more liberal, you know, pro-globo homo leader in all likelihood that'll follow. And that's my guess is what's going to happen.
All right. So we haven't had any callers. I didn't advertise it, but 512-248-8252 if you want to weigh in. Back to the original topic, the 17-year-old Algerian that was shot. So let's just say that the police overstepped their bounds, or let's say that they, you know, they didn't shoot him, and that, you know, they let him go and just arrested him later or followed him. We still have this problem of Muslims in Europe. It's going to be a problem. There's going to be hostilities no matter what. And it's because of, you know, the Jews letting the Muslims in. So that's going to be a thing. This 17-year-old just getting shot, this just happened to amplify the situation and sort of bring certain things to the forefront. And maybe we could speak to that, to the fact that what are we going to do about these people in our countries? And we do have one caller on hold. If you want to address that, and then we'll take the call.
Sure, let's take the caller. Just briefly, I think you're spot on. It's a very good assessment. I like this word amplify. That's exactly what's happened. This is amplifying a problem.
All right. Hey, do we have Charlie in Florida? And maybe, Julie, if you could skip the break, we'd really appreciate it.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm on. Can you hear me? I guess you can hear me. Okay, great. Yeah, a couple of things. I don't know. I disagree with your guest there, Mr. What's his name? Who's your guest?
David Scorpio.
Oh, Scorpio, yeah. Yeah, Scorpio. I remember him. Yeah, anyway, Mr. Scorpio, no, I think what you're confusing is that everybody's in this game. You think it's all played, but I disagree 100% Putin's in the game. For one thing, he kicked out all the oligarchs years right after he was first put in. Yes, he did. Now, let me finish
speaking. No, he didn't kick all of them out, sir. He kicked some of them out.
He kicked out all the ones that he did. The other ones he put under his thumb. Okay, now let me finish speaking.
He kicked out some of the oligarchs. That's true.
Oh, bull. He kicked them out, and the rest of them that were in there had to toe the line, or else they would have gotten kicked out, too.
He did not kick out all the oligarchs. Sorry.
No, he didn't. But the ones who were left in there, it was very clear that they had to follow what he said. Some of them got poisoned, okay, if they didn't follow what he said. He was very – and so what he's got is he got them under control. He saved his country from these oligarchs, and they went into the Ukraine. Okay, and then they left out of there when the war started and went into Israel. Now, let me finish, okay? So these are the ones that are controlling Zelensky. You got Kolomoisky and all these people. They're the ones that are controlling Zelensky. They're the ones that are controlling Biden with blackmail and everything else. And that's why we're at war in Russia, because they're trying to get Russia, Putin, out of there so they can get their oligarchs in there and so they can take the country back the way they had it, so they can rape it and pillage it just like they have here in the United States and everywhere else. I don't know what's so hard for you to see there. I mean, this has obviously been explained to you. I've explained it to you in the past. But you don't seem to be able to wise up to the fact. And I'm not arguing. I don't want to argue with you about, you know, because you have this unbelievable belief that Jews are controlling everything in the world. It's just not so. It's just not so. Jews, I agree, are in control of a lot of things. Yeah, okay. I'm going to hush it for a minute now. I'll listen.
I'm going to arbitrate just for a minute, and then I'll kick it to David.
Okay, sure.
So Putin did corral a lot of the Jewish oligarchs. And I don't know who was controlling who, but after the Ukraine war kicked off, there was a lot of Russian oligarchs that did leave, and a lot of them were sanctioned by the West even, which was really weird. But I think that's when they really turned on Putin, and when he stepped out of line. Let me kick to you, David, to respond, and then we got other callers.
Yeah, let's get the other callers. Well, I'm not going to change Charlie's mind. We'll see how long Putin lasts. I think he'll be out of office before the end of the year.
He'll be in and there until the day he decides to leave. I want to address that, okay?
Let me finish my point. I would just end this by saying that Putin wears a red Kabbalah bracelet. Explain that to me. And I don't think he's ever tried to really win this war. We're a year and a half in, and they can't defeat Ukraine. Something's wrong.
You got that from some kind of comic book. That's the dumbest thing I've heard. I've heard you say that before, and that's idiotic. Okay, it's just plain stupid. Now, let me finish here. Okay. Putin is going to be there until he's got the highest popularity of any president. He's up to 80% now of any president that's ever been there. He's going to be there as long as he wants. End of discussion on that one, my friend.
We'll see.
No one wants him out of there.
We'll see. Hey, Charlie, thanks a lot. Let's move on to another caller. And I do want to give everybody their free, voice on the platform. Paul in California, you're up next. What's on your mind, sir?
God damn it, Charlie. I hate to agree with you, but you're exactly correct. The Jews are not running everything. It's the communitarians. And, just so you guys know, the weak spot of the communitarians is biochar. If we can get enough biochar together, it's like kryptonite to these people. Now, one other thing I'm going to say, but Charlie, bring the hate. That was good radio. I wouldn't have called in without your call. I was enjoying the presentation. I actually agreed with several things that David said in the first 20 minutes. That really shouldn't surprise anybody, especially about these no-knock warrants. When they set up surveillance on these people anyway, so they know where they live. And so, therefore, if they set up surveillance all the time on them, of course, it would make way more sense to just wait till they're a little bit away, do a double or triple traffic stop and take these people out without endangering residents around them. It's kind of like the way this world is, where there's always a reason they do things the way they do, and it's never what they tell you, and it's not for officer safety. But anyway, going back to the kind of things that Charlie was talking about, Charlie, you broke the number one rule, which just drives me crazy, is you said, can you hear me or am I on? Please, all RBN callers and listeners, just start talking. Do not say, can you hear me? Other than that, I agree with everybody all the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. David, do you have a response? And we got one more call.
Well, yeah, good call. We'll just see. Hey, maybe I'm not right. We'll see. I don't think Putin will be around by the end of the year. And something's not right if Russia can't defeat Ukraine after a year and a half. I don't think this war is being fought to win. I think a different agenda is going on. And I think people should avoid rooting for the Russians or rooting for the Ukrainians. Look at the bigger picture. Read the writings of people like Zbigniew Zabrinsky and Henry Kissinger. They tell you the purpose of modern war if you just read their books. Modern wars aren't intended to win. That's not why wars are fought now. The wars are fought to instill agendas and to do things that they couldn't get away with during peacetime.
Well, and I will hold to this, that Putin has pissed off the Jewish system, just like Trump did, and they're moving to get rid of him. And I think that a lot of oligarchs did, you know, go away from him and leave Russia, Jewish oligarchs. So there's that. I can see why people would take, you know, different positions on this. If we have time, we'll get mine. Oh, David, go ahead.
No, just briefly. I agree with that. You know, rulers that step out of line, I don't think it's so simple that everyone's completely controlled. I never said that. But when they step out of line far enough, they're going to be removed. And I think Putin has done a lot of nationalistic things that have angered the so-called, you know, Jewish oligarch class, whatever you want to call them.
We got to walk it on back to the mid-90s on this, like Breonna Taylor, whatever her name was, is with Taylor, I think. We got to walk it on Taylor. Back and consider the Hook bypass switch. They could listen into room audio. They knew where her ex-boyfriend was. I have to wonder if she wouldn't go along with doing a honeypot trap on him, and so they pulled a raid on her because she knew too much about their tactics. We don't know what to believe about that situation, but I know the media sure exploited it, and then there's others that get ignored, like two white people got swatted down in Houston. There was memorials of flowers along the sidewalks where they got their home raided because somebody lied about them being a drug dealer. So, you know, it's we have such a controlled technocracy, and it really goes right on back to the 1970s. They probably could manipulate people way back then, you know, and it just got increasingly automated. So, you know, the cell phones just turbocharged that. So they probably knew where her ex-boyfriend was, and you know, I hate to blame the victim, but she went from one boyfriend to another in the course of less than 6 weeks, was it? Had a different man living with her. The morality of this country makes us easy targets in a lot of cases. Unfortunately, we lose our heads of protection.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Thank you, David. We're at the end of the show. We got to do this again soon. You guys stay classy.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Jeremy. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the guys calling in. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.